Hello and welcome to your GCSE History Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor and today we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics on the specification, warfare and British society, from around 1250 right through to the present day, with a special focus on the medieval period and London during the Second World War. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clear framework, the key facts you need, and the confidence to tackle any question the examiner throws at you. So, let's get started. First, let's talk about why this topic matters. Warfare has shaped British society in profound ways, determining who holds power, how ordinary people live, what technology gets developed, and how communities respond to crisis. The examiners want you to understand this big picture. They're not just looking for a list of battles. They want you to show how warfare caused change and continuity across centuries. That's the key phrase, change and continuity. Keep it in your mind throughout this episode. Right, let's start with the medieval period, roughly 1250 to 1500. The first thing you need to understand is the feudal army structure. Medieval armies were built on the feudal system, a social hierarchy where land was exchanged for military service. At the top sat the mounted knights. These were the elite warriors of medieval society. Heavily armoured, riding expensive war horses, owing military service directly to the king or a lord. Think of them as the tanks of the medieval battlefield. Powerful, intimidating, and expensive. Below the knights came the infantry, foot soldiers drawn from the feudal levy, meaning lords were obligated to provide soldiers when the king called for war. And then there were the archers, and this is where things get really interesting. The English longbowman was arguably the most important military development of the medieval period. Trained from childhood, literally from the age of 7 or 8, these men could fire up to 12 arrows per minute at ranges of up to 300 yards. A longbow arrow could penetrate chainmail armour at that range. That is extraordinary. Here's the crucial exam point. The social structure of medieval society directly determined the structure of the army. The king commanded because he was king. Lords commanded their own retinues because of their feudal position. Ordinary peasants and yeomen filled the ranks of the infantry and archer corps. Always link the military structure back to the social structure. That connection earns you marks. Now, let's look at the two key battles you absolutely must know. Falkirk in 1298 and Agincourt in 1415. Falkirk, the 22nd of July 1298. Edward I, known as the Hammer of the Scots, led an English army against William Wallace. Wallace organised his infantry into formations called chiltrons, dense circles of soldiers with long spears pointing outward in every direction, like a human hedgehog, designed to stop cavalry charges, and initially it worked. But Edward brought up his longbowmen, volley after volley into the tightly packed chiltrons. The formation that had stopped the cavalry was helpless against arrows raining down from a distance. The chiltrons broke, the Scottish army collapsed. Falkirk damaged Wallace's reputation so severely that he lost political support and was eventually captured and executed in 1305. Now, Agincourt, the 25th of October 1415. Henry V led around 6,000 men against a French force of 20 to 30,000. The odds were terrible, but Henry chose his ground brilliantly, a narrow field between two woods, forcing the French onto a compressed front churned to mud by recent rain. The longbowmen on the flanks were devastating. Heavily armoured French knights sank into the mud, their formation compressed, and the archers fired at close range. Thousands of French knights were killed. English losses were remarkably light. Agincourt confirmed the dominance of the longbow over the mounted knight, proved that tactics and terrain can overcome numerical disadvantage, and accelerated the decline of the mounted knight, a process completed by the introduction of gunpowder weapons later in the 15th century.
Now, let's move forward in time, a long way forward, to London and the Second World War, 1939 to 1945. This is a depth study, which means the examiners expect detailed, specific knowledge, Vague answers will not earn top marks here. The Blitz began on the 7th of September 1940. For 57 consecutive nights, German bombers targeted London and other British cities. The aim was simple: to break civilian morale, disrupt industry, and force Britain to surrender. Over 43,000 civilians were killed across the UK during the Blitz. 1 million London homes were damaged or destroyed. These are the statistics you need to know. But here's what's fascinating, and what the examiners love. The Blitz did not break civilian morale. In fact, it arguably strengthened it. The so-called Blitz spirit became a powerful symbol of British resilience. And understanding why civilians responded the way they did is absolutely central to this topic. So how did civilians cope? Several ways. Anderson shelters, corrugated steel structures half buried in gardens, were issued to 1.5 million households. Many Londoners sheltered in the underground stations, sleeping on the platforms while bombs fell above. The government organised the evacuation of 827,000 children from London to the countryside, one of the largest peacetime movements of people in British history. Women played a crucial role. With men away fighting, women took on jobs in factories, on farms, and in essential services. The air raid precautions wardens, the ARP wardens, patrolled the streets, enforcing the blackout and directing people to shelters. Rationing was introduced in January 1940 to ensure fair distribution of food and essential goods. And what about the government's role? This is important for exam questions about the relationship between the state and civilians during wartime. The Ministry of Information produced propaganda, posters, films, and radio broadcasts designed to maintain morale. Churchill's speeches were masterpieces of rhetoric. His words, "We shall fight on the beaches, we shall never surrender," gave people a sense of shared purpose and defiance. But the government also controlled information. Censorship meant that the true scale of casualties and damage was often hidden from the public. The famous photograph of St. Paul's Cathedral standing amid the flames and smoke of the Blitz was deliberately published to boost morale, a carefully managed image of resilience. Now, here are your key exam tips for this topic, and please write these down. First, never just tell the story. Examiners call this narrative without analysis, and it will keep you stuck in level two. Instead of saying, "The Blitz happened and people were scared," say, "The Blitz created significant social change because it forced the government to take greater responsibility for civilian welfare, laying the foundations for the post-war welfare state." Second, always use specific evidence. Don't say, "Many children were evacuated." Say, 827,000 children were evacuated from London. Don't say, "The bombing was severe." Say, 57 consecutive nights of bombing killed over 43,000 civilians across the UK. Specific knowledge is what separates a level 3 answer from a level 4 answer. Third, for source questions, remember the framework: content, provenance, limitations. What does the source actually say? Who created it? When and why? And what doesn't it tell us? A source produced by the Ministry of Information in 1940 might show civilian resilience, but its purpose was propaganda, so it's likely to present a positive, selective picture. That's your limitation. Fourth, always think about change and continuity. This is a thematic study, which means the examiner wants you to make connections across time. How does the experience of London civilians in 1940 compare to the experience of medieval civilians affected by war? Both faced disruption, both were subject to government demands, but the scale, the technology, and the state's response were completely different. That kind of cross-period thinking earns the highest marks. Common mistakes to avoid. Number one, focusing only on battles without linking them to broader societal changes. The Battle of Agincourt is not just a military story. It's a story about how technology changed the social order, how the feudal system was beginning to break down, how the role of the common soldier was rising relative to the mounted elite.
number two, confusing the roles of different social classes in the feudal army. Remember, knights were at the top socially, but were declining militarily. Archers were lower in social status, but were increasingly decisive on the battlefield. That tension is historically significant. Number three, neglecting the impact of war on civilians. Whether it's medieval peasants forced to provide food and labour for passing armies, or London families sheltering in the underground during the Blitz, the civilian experience of war is always examinable.
Right, time for our quick-fire recall quiz. Pause after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Ready? Here we go. Question 1. What was the name of the Scottish defensive infantry formation used at the Battle of Falkirk? The answer is chiltrons, dense circles of spearmen designed to repel cavalry charges. Question 2. In what year did the Battle of Agincourt take place, and who commanded the English forces? The answer is 1415, and the English were commanded by Henry V. Question 3. How many consecutive nights did German bombers target London during the Blitz? The answer is 57 consecutive nights, beginning on the 7th of September 1940. Question 4. What were the three tiers of the feudal army, from highest to lowest social status? The answer is mounted knights at the top, infantry and spearmen in the middle, and archers, including longbowmen, at the base. Question 5. What does the acronym PEEL stand for in essay writing? PEEL stands for Point, Evidence, Explanation, Link. Use this structure for every paragraph in your explain and essay questions. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If you missed some, go back and review those sections. Retrieval practice is one of the most powerful revision techniques there is. Right. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key themes from today's episode. Medieval warfare was shaped by the feudal system. Social structure determined military structure. The longbow was the transformative technology of the medieval period, proving decisive at both Falkirk in 1298 and Agincourt in 1415. The decline of the mounted knight was not sudden. It was a gradual process driven by new weapons and new tactics. And the impact of war on civilians, whether medieval peasants or wartime Londoners, is always examinable. For London and the Second World War, remember, the Blitz began on the 7th of September 1940, lasted 57 nights and killed over 43,000 civilians. But it did not break morale. Instead, it created the conditions for significant social change, including the expansion of women's roles, greater state responsibility for welfare, and ultimately the post-war welfare state of 1945. In your exam, always think, what changed? What stayed the same? What caused this? What were the consequences? And can I link this to another period or topic? Those questions will guide you to the highest marks. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck with your revision. And remember, history is not just about the past. It's about understanding how the world we live in came to be. You've got this. Goodbye for now.